Welcome to We the People. How hard should it be to get a divorce? How much right should legislation, the law, the institution of the state have a right to be in your bedroom mediating the relationship of a marriage? A new controversy has erupted after several new interesting amendments have been proposed to the marriage laws in this country. Among them, that irretrievable breakdown should be a cause for divorce. The BJP and many of the left parties objected to this, saying that this clause should not be allowed unless women are also given 50% right to marital property, property that was acquired during the course of the marriage. And now there is another proposal that women should even have the right to a share of their ex-husband's inherited property. These are proposals that have divided public opinion. Many men, of course, are arguing that this is a law that is slanted against them. Women are saying that the reality of an unequal society is perhaps for a while you do need laws that are slanted against men. But where does individual liberty to make a personal choice coincide with the larger principles that some of these amendments are trying to uphold? Let me start with a personal story. Pooja Bedi, we know you from our TV screens, from our film screens. You have also spoken quite candidly about your own divorce. A lot of women and men don't actually find it easy to do that. They don't find it easy to come on TV and talk about it, because we still remain, although things are changing, a society that can stigmatize somebody who's been through a divorce. It's insane, but it happens. Now, there are many women, and I have raised these questions among them, who would say, if you are economically self-reliant, why monetize a relationship? What was your experience?
Barkha, I met my ex-husband when I was 20 years old. I was earning very well for myself. I had a fantastic life. I was traveling business class. I could afford myself every luxury. I got married to Farhan, who insisted I give up my career, as most men in India tend to do, saying, sit at home, take care of the home, the babies, you know, and if you have to work,
you
will help me.
Why did you say yes?
Because
he had a lot of
insecurities and apprehensions about the field of work I was in, the industry, vis-a-vis all the rumors, the gossip mills, the link-ups, etc., etc. Okay. In all fairness, I married him at 20, I divorced at 32. During the course of those 12 years, I helped him from inception to success set up a furniture store. A highly reputed furniture store called Furniture Wala. Now, I helped him with production, with sales, with delivery, with client handling, with marketing, promotions, and it built into a mega store. When I got divorced, I got nothing. Zero. Because here's the perfect wife who sits at home, takes care of the kids, is a fantastic wife, she helps you in your work, she's loyal, she's honest, she's great, she's wonderful, you don't want to let her go, but the marriage is terrible, maybe the husband is really not the one you want to spend the rest of your life with. I don't want to badmouth him here, I just want to talk about the inequality of things.
Was it a mutual decision to get divorced, or was it yours?
I wanted to be divorced, we gave it another chunk of time to basically think things through and work out things. Yeah. It was irretrievable, it was an irreparable breakdown of marriage. And I had two children. And at the end of it, I walked out with nothing. I had a fantastic lawyer, Mahesh Jethmalani, you know, and he said, Pooja, the laws in this country do not support you. At the end of the day, you will be in an arduous court battle for years on end. And God knows what you get out of it. And I thought to myself, here I will be fighting for money, and my children will end up resenting their father. It'll be a public spectacle, given the fact, you know, I'm a celebrity. I just don't want to go down that road. I know I can do it on my own. And of course, there were lots of people who turned and said, Pooja, you know, you're in your 30s, you've got two kids. It'll be that much more difficult for you to get back. What are your life skills at this point of time? Because I had no more life skills over those 12 years that had been developed.
So you didn't go to court at all to ask for alimony?
I asked him, but he said no. He said, I'm happy to have you stay, but if you want to go, you can go without anything. So that was my choice. And I just said, I want to be happy. I don't care if I'm poor, but I just want to wake up and sleep happy.
And who did the looking after for the children?
I did.
Entirely on your own?
No, he did say that he would take care of the children financially. He gave money, not enough perhaps to take care of all their needs, but he certainly put out money towards them. I got nothing. And I started off writing columns with Midday for 4,000 rupees per column, terrified as to how I would afford anything for myself. I had a little bit of inheritance given to me by my mother. My father didn't put a penny towards my marriage. He didn't put a penny towards my divorce. Didn't help me at all. And I started, because the important thing was to get on my feet and get somewhere. luck favors the brave. It favored me. Within a year and a half, I was driving the same Mercedes car as my ex-husband. I bought myself properties. I bought myself a much grander life than I actually had during the time I was married.
Kirti, picking up on that last point, of course, there are privileges of class, privileges of education, privileges of opportunity that some of us have here that the vast majority of women in this country do not have. There are questions and dilemmas that arise as to how much space you should allow the state into the institution of marriage. And the worry that a lot of people, even those who champion women's rights, would have in this is why oppose irretrievable breakdown of marriage as a cause for two people to, or even one person, to walk out of a relationship? Should she be imprisoned into a marriage that she doesn't want to stay in, hypothetically speaking, because she can't find any of the other seven reasons, which are adultery, cheating, conversion to religion, disappearing for 7 years, a venial form of leprosy, desertion, whatever. I mean, as adults, should this not be a freer choice? Why have the left and the right opposed a breakdown of marriage as a cause for divorce?
Well, I don't think the left has opposed breakdown of marriage as a ground for divorce per se. I mean, I don't think women who are working with other women will also oppose the ground because of issues of personal liberty. And as you said, nobody should be tied down to a person they don't want to.
Yeah.
Having said that, what happens today is that women in India don't have an option. They do not have an option to walk out of a marriage because we have seen, I've done a survey, 95% of them do not have a place to go to. They cannot, they are often left, more than 80% are left with their children.
Yeah.
There's a sharp fall of over 50-70%. They can't regain that fall, unlike Pooja,
yeah,
who was, you know, who had certain talents. They cannot make up. And so they live a lifestyle which is like, you know, 70-80% below the lifestyle that they were living. They are dependent on their parents. And this is a reality that we have to take into account. Also, we have to see that it's not a question of money. It's a question of a right. A woman should have an equal right. You know, whether her contribution is financial or non-financial, she is primarily the caretaker of the house and looks after the children, the elderly, even working women,
yeah,
we find, are really looking after the children. Why shouldn't she have half of whatever?
But is there a distinction in pushing a man to provide more for the children and a distinction in the woman also wanting the same lifestyle, which is one of the references that courts often follow? And I ask this because I think that I can't shake off this feeling personally that if I was in a relationship and therefore with another person be able to enjoy X lifestyle and then on my own it became Y lifestyle, I just say, fine, this is how much I can afford, it's okay.
Well, only if you don't have the feeling that, look, I've given my best, I've lost, say, 20 years of my life, I'm not going to be able to make this up,
yeah,
how will my children live? If you don't have that feeling, fine, there will be individual women who will think like that. There will be women who are capable of doing, say, what Pooja has done.
Yeah.
But there will be, the vast majority, I say, will not be. And we should really look at them. There should be an economic valuation, and I don't mean it in a negative sense, their housework, their contribution to the house. Why should their contribution not be recognized? Why shouldn't it be recognized that they are, you know, their children's primary parents? Most mothers are. Yet in this country, they are neither the natural guardian, you know, under all the personal laws, you know, nor are they given special benefits.
Okay, Mukul Rothke, coming in both as a legal perspective and somebody who is a lawyer, a very interesting case. We had the Smriti Shinde case where your client actually went to the Supreme Court, all the way to the Supreme Court. She wanted to get out of her marriage, and the initial consent by her former husband to have it be a mutual consent turned into a contested plea, and the courts along the way said patch up. She said, no, I don't want to be with this man, change the rules. Why is divorce so difficult?
As a lawyer, I have seen hundreds of these cases in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And as a lawyer, I want to concentrate on the amendment,
yeah,
which is proposed,
yeah,
rather than larger issues of, you know, compensating somebody who spent half a life,
yeah,
bringing up children, all that. See, I have a difficulty. I mean, I am all for irretrievable breakdown because you cannot bind two people together where the bond is dead.
Yes.
But first, let us understand that divorces are a phenomena of the urban, the metropolitan, the semi-urban, much less in the villages. But when you apply this law, it's going to be all across the country.
Yeah.
Now, first let us talk about a matrimonial home. You say divide half a matrimonial home as you have in the US. In the US, most people individually own houses or flats.
Yeah.
In this country, three brothers get together and purchase a flat jointly.
Yeah.
And pay an installment.
Yeah.
They have three wives, three brothers. Their parents move in who are 80 years of age. One man, one wife has a dispute. You can't now divide one flat into three. Suppose all three have a problem. So it's one third, one third, one third in a given case.
Yeah.
So they are divided. The three spouses get it.
Yeah.
Where do the parents go? Take a case, you have a five bedroom flat, three generations living, all married. So you have eight people living in eight bedrooms or six bedrooms with eight people. How will you divide? Division is partition. Partition can only be done either by consent or by a legal decree. It's going to take 20 years to have a partition.
Yeah.
If you are going to include inherited wealth, most of the agricultural lands in this country are inherited. They come from Dada, Pusht. How are you going to divide that? And if you are going to divide that, you are locking that couple in order to compensate somebody, which I think compensation must be very handsome. But in order to compensate, if you are going to get stuck in this, I am sorry, the legal system in this country is going to take you down, is going to be like a quicksand, and you will forever get involved in all this. I am all for this irretrievable breakdown. I am all for compensating the weaker part, that is the wife generally, because the man will ask for this divorce. Provide some method by which you have handsome compensation for the woman on the basis of some formula. Break the umbilical cord. Tell her to have this money. Children.
But not, you don't support 50% of marital property.
No, because it's not going to work. And if it works, it's going to take half the life is gone in divorces from lower court to Supreme Court.
So as some,
and the other half will go on in this division.
So, and Anand, what this does, and I have friends who speak about this, it scares people of divorces, at least in urban pockets. And it scares people of divorces because from wedlock you're going to deadlock, because you're locked into litigation, because it takes years and you say, let me just suffer and stay put. Isn't this also a question of individual liberty?
No, I don't agree with you there, because all divorces are actually through a statute. It is through a statute, except for certain divorces like Muslims, talaq, they are by personal law, otherwise they are by a statute. So the state has already interfered with anybody. You can't
by definition,
say,
the institution
by definition,
is that.
So there
yeah.
is a question of, this is a false notion. One. Secondly, all countries, they have community of property now, most of them.
Yeah.
We have that even in Goa. I'm surprised that Mukul is saying it doesn't work there, it works there. Mm-hmm. It depends on the attitude. Yes, the legal system stinks, but that is not an answer. Because it's a matrimonial problem.
Do you support, these amendments?
Which ones? That's the issue.
Let's start with irretrievable breakdown.
Irretrievable breakdown of marriage on its own will actually mean that a lot of women will be on the roadside.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that they are actually paid for. Either you give property or you give compensate in terms of property. Because the woman needs a place to stay.
How do you define, therefore, in this case?
Well, there are different ways of doing
it. So
we have to discuss it.
So these amendments that say 50% of residential property, that now propose to get inherited property as well, do you support that?
I support what I call community of property. We have to value the woman's right actually to work in the house because she has an option. If she stays at home, she's contributing to her husband's wealth. So she actually contributes to that. So she's entitled to what we call community of property, which is brought after the marriage.
But that already exists in law. The judge's discretion decides what a woman should get.
It doesn't exist in
India. What exists in India is only the right to reside in the matrimonial home. Just 1 minute.
Yeah.
Even in the Domestic Violence Act, we had put, the position was that she could stay even in a house which belonged to the father-in-law. The Supreme Court said, on what basis, it's difficult to understand. No. If it is only the husband's house, she can stay. Now, in that situation, like Mukul says, a lot of the houses are actually owned by the father-in-laws. That's where the woman goes. She gives up her job.
Yeah.
Where does she go? And most of the problems for a woman who gets a divorce is that she's shelterless.
Would you leave it to the judge's discretion or would you quantify the amount?
No, I would. It's either way. But it should include the community.
You don't agree, Kirti.
You can leave it either to the judge or have a statute or a formula which allows for compensating for the woman who stays in the house and contributes to the wealth of the
husband. Come in briefly and then
Barkha.
Yeah.
You cannot leave this to the judge. The judge requires some guidelines and some parameters.
What should that guideline be? That's what we're debating.
The guideline will have to be, for a judge to calculate the intrinsic wealth of the man.
But
what he's earning
is that when so many businesses are cash run, there's so many people that do cash business in our country.
Let me explain.
You cannot, on
the basis of the lifestyle.
Let me explain. It's very simple to calculate. You have motor accident claim cases.
Yeah.
You have insurance cases. In motor accident claim, if somebody dies, there is a formula
life
in the law.
Life is not motor accident, unfortunately.
Why don't you allow me to speak?
Okay.
In motor accidents claim, you have a multiplier formula. It may be wrong, it may be right, it may be poor. But there is a formula on the basis of which you decide how much will the man work, how much will he earn, and therefore what is the compensation. I am not saying apply that formula. You apply.
But then why don't you support the formula of the 50% right to marital property? That's
because
a formula.
It would mean too much to be given to the woman,
yes.
I think.
No, but
as far as we are concerned,
you'll give her something, but not too much. Let there be 50% calculation of marital property, which is clearly defined as property purchased by the husband during the course of marriage.
Yes.
Divided 50%, no problem.
Okay.
But you cannot have it if it is joint, if it is a pagri, if it is tenancy, if it is inherited, there you are going to get.
Okay. I just want to get Jaya Jetli in to ask a slightly politically incorrect question. Are we not now reducing marriages and divorces to some commercial transaction?
I agree completely. In fact, even the whole idea of quantifying housework and having a man pay his wife for doing the housework, I don't feel comfortable with that. Because
why not?
Actually, if you look sociologically at why marriages came about in the first place, why does society require marriage? In the old days, it was because communities and groups required to protect themselves, and you had to procreate, and then you came settled life. So you had property and you had to pass the property on.
Yeah.
So these were social contracts in any case. Now, when you try to bring social contracts with all the complications that we're hearing today, and you have this interfere with very personal, intimate relationships between two human beings, you're going to have this bizarre situation we have today when we're trying to calculate a whole lot of things, and people are not only going to say the state is interfering with divorce, but people are going to not get put off divorce, they're going to get put off getting married.
They're already getting put off marriage.
No, and it's fine. I personally feel, and you know, 40 years ago, somebody, a democratic socialist like Dr. Ram Manohar Lohia, said that a couple who are honest with each other and respect each other, it's a far better relationship, even if they're not married, than if they are married.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think we have to look in these modern times at what is marriage for.
So
people
are you
wanting
concerned
to be together? If you don't want to be together, then to scratch each other's eyes out to say what can I get from the other person?
Yeah, yeah.
And especially look at lifestyle we're talking about. What is the lifestyle of a rickshawala or a daily wage worker?
Yeah.
What is the woman going to get? There is a different attitude towards marriage also in the rural areas.
Yeah.
Where if your husband is beating you, you have your sisters-in-law, brothers-in-law, mothers-in-law, somebody. We also have communities in this country where you can go back to your parents. We're looking at an urban patriarchal situation. Back to the original question of irretrievable. If there's mutual consent, irretrievable, you cannot force two.
But what if it's one person who wants to leave and the other person wants to stay?
Well, they'll go on fighting like cats and dogs. Why should the whole community get involved in it? 200 cats and
dogs. I just want to say one thing very quickly. You know, in a business, you pay your employees a gratuity, their bonuses. When you want to leave, there's a certain amount of pay, etc., etc. But there's a partnership, and marriage is a partnership where you're not an employee and a boss that you're being paid for something. You're an equal partner.
But does that mean both people need to want to get out at the same time?
No, that doesn't matter. If it's not working, it's not working. And you should have the ability to get out.
But then why is lifestyle so important? Jaya has raised an important point.
Why is lifestyle important? Well, if you can afford it for yourself, you can afford it for your partner and your own children. It's as simple as that. And you should want to. I'll give you a simple example again connected to my life.
Yeah.
My father divorced my mother. There were no laws back then to help the Indian woman get a certain acceptable amount out of a divorce.
Yeah.
You know, the flat was put onto my name, some 70,000 rupees flat. My mother got nothing from the divorce. My father's buying fancy champagne glass, $100 a stem. We don't have tomato ketchup in the house. He's buying expensive designer wardrobes. And my mother's cutting up her saris to make us clothes. On the other hand, he goes to America, has an American wife, gets an American divorce. He has to sell the house. He has to give 50%.
Absolutely.
He has to take care of the child. He goes to London. He marries Nikki. There's English law. He gives her the house. You know? So, I mean, why should Indian women suffer? Because the laws don't protect them.
But hang on. Ranjana Kumari, is the damn champagne glass so important?
I think it is.
Why?
I'll tell you why. I mean,
it's
two principles.
It's the lack of ketchup that's important.
Not the champagne glass.
Okay. Let me tell you, yeah. Both are important. But yeah. Do we accept those both principles in our society? One, that women have equal right to property, whatever form of property. Because when the lawyer speaks, I remember the Hindu Succession Act being debated in India's parliament. Similar arguments were given. Till date, we have not been able to correct, because no parent want to willingly give equal share to the daughter in property.
But that is my question here. Why is there so much emphasis?
The second principle, let me complete. Second principle, post-industrial revolution, the whole new cultural ethos and cultural history was written. And in that cultural history, productive work got the value by the society. Reproductive work was always seen something which was just voluntary, which has no value whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that is why reproductive work was assigned to women. When you are thrown out of that marriage, there is a divorce, especially in India now. It didn't happen in England, in America, because they realized that post-industrial revolution, we need to correct and make corrections in the system.
But I want to ask something.
But we did not do it. We did not do it.
I've got your point. But I want to ask something.
We throw her out with children on the street without any support whatsoever.
Okay. I don't think anybody here is arguing that a woman who has no other means of income or looking after the children should not be given protection. I think the cases become more complex when the woman may have, Mukul, some source of income, but maybe not earn as much as the man she was married to once used to. In which I think Jaya Jetley makes an important point that individual pride may lead some of us to say, I live without the ketchup and I live without the champagne glass. I just don't want to take a paisa from anybody. My worry here is, have we forgotten that our aim and our goal should be to make women self-reliant? Are we reinforcing very patriarchal stereotypes of the man as the provider and the woman as the recipient here?
See, man as the provider and woman as taking care of the house, etc., is the general ethos in this country, considering the vast majority of people live in villages.
Yeah.
And India lives in villages. So what you are discussing here, you cannot apply the same thing there. That's number one.
Fair enough.
Number two, even in a case of divorce, when alimony or maintenance per month pending a divorce is being decided, the law provides that the judge will assess the level of the wife, if she is separate, what she is earning, as opposed to where the husband is, and based on that and the lifestyle which the lady may have been used to, the law enjoins that so much maintenance should be allowed so that it should be able to have somewhat similar conveniences.
Can I ask Jaya, before I take it to Keithi, your own experience? Because we've heard Pooja's experience. You have a personal experience as well. You were married and then you parted. You said in interviews that I've read reasonably amicably from the man that you were married to. He went on to even have another family. You said it was fine. Did that lifestyle equivalence matter to you that much?
Not at all. In fact, I was asked by him whether I wanted an alimony and I said, no, thank you. When we had money together, we shared it. If we're not sharing a life, I don't want to share your money. And however it is, I managed. Because I took that attitude, today my former husband, his wife, his family are among my best friends. And I feel whatever we should try and do in life should be towards better relationships rather than finding things to be bitter about.
Keithi, you want to come in there?
I want to come in on two things. One,
on this economic one, self, why do we not talk about self-reliance anymore?
No, we should talk about self-reliance, but unfortunately we are not living in a society in which certain household tasks are socialized. You didn't have to cook.
Yeah.
If you didn't have to maintain the house,
yes,
then fine. I am all for it that the eventual thing is to make a woman self-reliant, but in a situation when that is not happening. And I tell you, women do feel bad because they have to literally beg the court, beg their husbands, then somehow come to a settlement. Yes. That's why the law should be clear. That recognize the two people living together as equal, recognize that they both contribute towards the household. So whatever the household has got, please, for God's sakes, divide it. If you can't divide it, assess it in monetary terms. And I think the procedure for division should not be such a problem. We can work that
yeah.
out. Actually, Barbara, how many court decisions have really given the alimony to the wife according to the lifestyle she was used to and her children were used to?
I have a question here for Mukul and Anand. The question is this. We are now talking about a right to inherited property. If it goes through, the question arises, what about the parents of the daughter? Do parents completely sort of lose any duty to their daughters? Mm. We never have the law talking about that.
So the problem is that nobody has thought it out.
Mm. Yes, nobody exactly.
Nobody has thought out
exactly.
The fact.
So why should daughter not get a
child?
That's what I'm saying, that when you do this, you have to think it out. You can't have knee-jerk reactions, give half. Somebody gets married today, he may have an inherited house. So after 1 year of marriage, the marriage breaks. Before even the husband and the wife know each other well or respect each other well, will you divide it? Is that fair?
Anand, answer that.
I don't know.
Answer that. Answer that.
I think
marriages in urban centers today are more short-lived than they used to be.
Yes. Think about it.
No divorces are taking
place.
Yes.
Yes.
There are reasons for that. I don't want to go into that.
Yeah.
Just a couple of points. I think the new proposal, which I understand, the law ministry has come up.
Yeah.
That all property should be taken into account is ill thought of.
Yeah.
I agree with that. You have to think about it properly. Normally, internationally, it is community of property which is brought into the marriage afterwards, for which the husband is responsible. That all women's organizations are supporting. So, it means not only the man's property, but even the woman's property has to come in. Secondly, now please understand this, under the Hindu Marriage Act, not under the other act, if the woman earns more money, she has to pay in. Remember that. And that should be the fair system.
Yeah, what if the woman's parents...
Yes.
are wealthier than the boy's parents.
Correct. Today,
what happens to inherited property then?
No, so what we have to decide is what should be community of property? Should it be the property which the husband and the wife bring to the marriage after the marriage? That should be the thing, I think. Because then you cut out all this thing about inheritance. Yeah, whatever comes into the marriage after the marriage, and also including the woman's property, then it's a fair game.
Okay, so you're saying...
Should I make one?
Yes, one. I want to make...
Mr. Grover says bring both. Bring both.
Bring women.
Fine, but the result will be 1 plus 0 is 1. Why? How many people in our social setup
leave property to their daughters?
That's so when there is a marriage, it's only the man who gets the inheritance, or otherwise the wife
situation.
Yeah, so unless
if the woman is wealthy,
as I understand the proposal of the government, look at the situation today.
Yeah.
Daughter does not get anything from the parents. After marriage, she'll get nothing from the husband. So what should she
but
do?
why doesn't the law which is proposing to make the man's family partake of its inherited property with the woman he was once married to, why isn't there the same pressure on the woman's parents?
Under the Hindu Succession Act, a woman is an equal inheritor. I think we should actually enforce that equal inheritance. Yes.
But would you support Anand's proposal to bring the woman's property also into the community of property?
Why not?
Yes, of course. Yes.
But, you know, there are different laws in different countries. For instance, in the state of California in the US, you both inherited property and the self-acquired property during marriage becomes communion of property. In Goa, it's inherited property as well as acquired property. I mean, there can be a number of years. We can find solutions for everything. We can talk through everything. There can be, we can say, okay, you will only get a right to inherited property in a house if you have been living there for a certain number of years. And what happens is, as far as I understand Law Ministry's proposal, it was that only in the residential house or property, you will have a share, half share.
Can I hold all of you, because I want to hear a little bit from the audience. Just a minute. We'll return to some of these questions. I have Vandana sitting next to me. Vandana now runs a magazine called The X-Files.
Yes.
And it's for people who have been divorced. Vandana, your own story was that after 6 months, you wanted to exit from your marriage?
That's right. Actually, I was thrown out of the house after 6 months. Mm. I didn't have parents, and I came back to the home that my mother had left me.
Yeah.
And I really walked out. I had 750 rupees in my bank account. And that's what I keep on saying. I had that 750 rupees. I came back. I sat on the steps. I didn't even have a key of the house.
Yeah.
And in my divorce actually took 10 years. We were married for 6 months.
Yeah.
And
that's bizarre.
Exactly. But it happens in the judicial system.
Yeah.
So for that 9.5 years, we were just in court.
Over what? Did you vote for a right to alimony or maintenance?
No, actually, I didn't. They filed for divorce. And then they wanted to walk away from the marriage, and somewhere down the line they decided that they wanted to file miscellaneous applications and they wanted to teach me a lesson. And I didn't have parents. Yeah. I didn't have money.
Your parents were not alive at that time?
They were not alive. I didn't have parents. I didn't have money. My maid used to work for free for me for the first 2 years before I got a job back. And unfortunately or fortunately, I look the way I do. And people wouldn't give me a job saying, this one looks too rich. So we will not give her a job. For 2 years, no one came to help me. And I say that in India, divorce is a socio-legal issue.
Yeah.
We come with band, baja, barat to the wedding. We do the same to the divorce courts. You have your mamas and your chachas sitting and you have your mothers.
So it's a tamasha.
It's a tamasha. And I've been through being a litigant. Then I started a support group called 360 Degrees Back to Life.
Yeah.
So I became a counselor. And now I'm a lawyer, and in the 10 years that all this has happened, I've seen divorce grow by about 150 times.
And would you insist on 50%?
Absolutely.
You would?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because like Pooja said, a lot of businesses are run on cash. So suddenly I'm married to this guy who are maybe the top 100 families of India. And when I marry him, he's a prince. But when he has to pay me, actually I'm a pauper.
Okay. Let's get some more questions in.
But I'd like to say one thing.
Yeah,
you know, the way that she's been trapped into a marriage and then a divorce, for X number of years, there are also men that would like to get out but can't because the wives choose to hold on. I think if there's a law, it needs to be really well thought of and thought out, and it has to be fair for all.
Okay, one more question here, then Jasmine wanted to speak for a while.
Well, I'm going back a donkey years ago. You know, we often heard marriages are made in heaven, right? Okay, now, you know, assuming so many women and so many males here, probably no guns, Barkha, we're very lucky, we'd have it up, a riot out here otherwise. Honestly, I feel as a man, I've been married for 23 years now. Everybody has issues, everybody has problems. I have a simple question to the audience watching us today. Can you get into a communication mode? Why do you need law into your bedroom, like Barkha said? Things can be eased out. It's the way you think. I'm believing.
Ask that to people who have been
I'm not a god man. I'm as human as you guys are.
You know, while I ask that to people who are in love.
While I'm speaking here, let me be very honest, Pooja.
It's not about communication.
While I'm speaking here, today is the 7th day my wife and me are having a cold war. I hope she's watching me right now. I'm telling you.
But see, even you needed to come to a TV studio to talk to her.
TV's a good thing.
Sunday morning, we had a very stupid issue and we got into a cold war. Right, Barkha?
I'm
mentioning it. I called her up. Fortunately, she has a mom here, and my mom and dad also close by. Every night, every alternate night, she goes to one mom in here and one mom there now. Day three, I call up. Indu, enough is enough. Why don't you come back home? Stop doing this drama. I'm doing drama. You're doing drama. Let's close it. She's back home with me.
So you're saying you have a problem with the state being given this much power in the relationship? Jay Jetli, and then Anand.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a law which insists that the girl has to get property equal to the boy? One is that would be a simple answer. Not so simple perhaps in terms of what men want to do.
Yeah.
The other thing is, why don't we have a system of a prenup, which they have abroad, which we are trying to look at. After all, in Muslim personal law, they have to discuss because they do look at marriage as a contract.
Yeah.
And they do discuss over then that if there is a breakdown, then the man has to give so much. Now, if it's a rickshawala, he can say, "Okay, I'll give you 10% of my minji, 200 rupees I earn in the day."
Yeah.
If it's a lakhpati, he can do that. It solves the problem right there.
I'd like to say something. I had a Muslim marriage too. I'd like to say that, a Muslim marriage. And meher was given mainly as a token because you don't go into marriage and say, "I'm going to get divorced, what are you going to give me?"
Yeah. No,
and generally,
but that's what she's proposing, that now have prenups. Anand, my question is this. Would all of you support making it mandatory for the woman's family to be as accountable for this community of properties that you speak about? Yes?
Certainly.
You know, I think one question that has to be clarified is, what do you mean by woman's family or man's family? Hmm. What we are talking about...
I mean inherited property.
What I'm talking about is community of property which the man and the woman brings to the marriage. You need not have the inherited property, but if he brings to the marriage, after the marriage inherited property, then that counts. So it depends on how you define it. But One of the things that we must not forget, the children. Whenever children are involved, right now I have a case where a man is very wealthy, everything is in cash, he has walked out of the marriage, he's left two children with a mother, and she has no job. Very wealthy. She's staying in a very luxurious apartment, but she has no money to pay for the outgoings. What does she do?
Can I hear from a man's perspective? Because some men will also say, yes, I walked out of the marriage, after which, what Pooja said, I cannot get a divorce and I don't get right to meet my children. Vitesh, after how many years did you want a divorce?
Around 3.5 years of the marriage. I realized that within the few months of the marriage, I realized that it's a totally incompatible marriage and we are like not made for each other. And we kind of still try to adjust for 3.5 years. And then finally she walked out of the marriage with her parents. And then after 6 months, when all the talks failed, we decided to file a divorce case. And as soon as I filed the divorce case, all the possible matrimonial criminal cases like dowry, harassment, domestic violence, they went a step further because her father was a lawyer. They went a step further and they filed an attempt to murder case on me. And my sister she's an American citizen right now. She got married 3 years before my marriage. Even she has been falsely implicated into this false case.
So what is the status now?
The case is still on. And they're not coming up for the dates. She don't want to leave me.
She doesn't want to stay with you, nor does she want to.
Absolutely. And now they're asking for alimony. And with this 50% property, I don't know where it'll be heading towards. I mean, this is totally rubbish.
Why are you not willing to part with 50%?
Why should I? It is the hard-earned property that I have made. She has not contributed anything. I'm okay if she...
You have children?
Yeah, I have a daughter. I have not met her for last 4.5 years. She is 4.5 years and I have not met her for last 4.5 years. I have not been allowed to meet. I'm paying the maintenance for her. I'm paying the maintenance regularly, but they don't allow me to meet the daughter.
Kirti and Mukul, come in there. And then Ranjana.
Obviously, there will be cases and we shouldn't allow that. But to stop that from happening, you see, right now women resist divorce because they think once they're out of it, they will not be able to survive properly.
Yeah. Okay, fosters. I have to go to a break, but I want to ask all three of you briefly, what is the ideal formula? Mukul.
By calculation of, say, as he says, if you bring in matrimonial property, you decide. Yeah. But suppose there is no matrimonial property, then what happens? Then also you have to have some measure. So some measures have to be made.
The number of years.
Some measures have to be made.
If you've been married for just a year, it doesn't make sense to take 50% of the property. Okay. Yes, if you've been there 7 years plus, then the 50% is valid.
There is one more problem. If you have three children, and the wife is given 50%. Let us say there is a flat.
Yeah.
A two-bedroom flat. 50% is given. So the wife remains in that 50% or she gets the value. You have three other children. What will happen to their inheritance? Or is it correct to say that the inheritance of three children should go only through the husband because the wife has taken away 50%?
No, wife will also inherit.
I don't know. Wife
so,
also,
they will inherit from the wife.
All I'm trying to say is, unless and until you think it out correctly.
Can I say something?
Ranjana, quickly, then I want to hear
from
you.
Yeah, very quickly, because this is something which needs to be paid attention to, duration of marriage.
Yes.
Change it to spouse, so there is man and woman both included.
So gender neutral.
And also, we are saying community of property. Nobody is going to penalize the other person. Nobody wants to do that. But look at the debate. You know, the debate always has talked about division of property as an issue, and division of property has been never an issue when it comes to dividing between the boys. It becomes an issue the moment you talk about dividing between the girls. And the moment it is to give actually the real right to property is one of the tools by which patriarchy has always discriminated against women. That is needed now. We have to do it.
Before I take this to Anand and Jaya, we've spoken of urban people who go through this and the dilemmas there are very different. I have here to my right Rekha. And Rekha was actually thrown out of the house when she was carrying a second child who was a girl. Rekha ji, jab aap pet se thi aur aapki beti hone wali thi, to aapke aadmi ne aapko
chhod diya tha.
Kyun chhoda unhone?
वो मैम लड़की के लिए चेकअप कराने के लिए बोल रहे थे, वो उससे मैंने मना किया तो इसलिए मेरे साथ में मारपीट की गई, फिर भी मैंने नहीं माना तो मुझे यहाँ छोड़ के चले गए थे 8वें महीने में.
अभी बच्चों का देखभाल कौन करता है?
अभी मेरे मम्मी पापा के पास है और मैं भी यहीं पर रह रही हूँ.
और वो कहाँ है?
वो मथुरा.
और वो कुछ बच्चों के लिए या आपके लिए पैसे देता है?
कुछ भी नहीं.
तो आपने कभी सोचा कि मैं केस फाइल करूँ?
जी, मैंने केस फाइल कर रखा है, अब मेरा मेंटेनेंस का चल रहा है.
और आप इनसे डिवोर्स चाहती हैं कि आप इनसे मेंटेनेंस चाहती हैं?
मैं मेंटेनेंस चाहती हूँ, बच्चों को साथ रखना चाहती हूँ.
बच्चों को अपने साथ?
अपने साथ.
और अगर वो मिलना चाहे बच्चों को तो आप क्या बोलेंगे?
मैं नहीं चाहती मेरे बच्चों से वो मिले, क्योंकि उनका जो रवैया है वो बहुत गलत है।
और अगर बच्चे बड़े होके मिलना चाहे?
अगर बच्चे चाहते हैं तो मैं उन्हें रोकूंगी भी नहीं, मैं जाने दूंगी, क्योंकि वो उनको ही पता चलेगा कि मेरे पिता कैसे हैं।
So these are two very different. There is Vitesh saying, for 4.5 years I haven't met my daughter. There is a woman saying, I was thrown out of the house, I was beaten. I don't want my children to meet such a man. They're very, very complex terrains. And what's worrying me is that there is a hurry to push this through. It doesn't look like everything has been thought through.
See, Becca, go to the root. The root is that all parents will give or bequeath property to the male
and the female.
And not to the daughter. Maybe absolutely give her some money, but never the property.
Yeah.
So either you take a radical step. If you remove the power of making a will,
make it mandatory,
it will go down one half each. I don't know if you can do that. Whether that's valid, invalid.
No, okay, no, can I, one second. I have to take a break. Yeah.
Just briefly, there are two rights here.
Yeah.
One is the right to inherit from one's parents.
Yes.
And the other is the right to matrimonial property. A woman is entitled to both.
Shouldn't the man be entitled to both if the woman is richer?
Sure. Yes, sure. I don't mind.
Yeah.
9% women only in our country have a right to, of title to land. Do you know that? Because they don't get it from their parents. And they don't get their husbands.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is Vitesh, the whole...
Why don't they earn it?
How are they to earn it? Jaya Jetli. He says, why don't they earn it? I may also say that because I had the same education, the same property. I grew up in a house with the two daughters. I never had to face discrimination. But Kirti makes the point that we are privileged. This minuscule. Yeah.
The women of India are the same as the landless of India, which are men or whoever has the property. 30% or more of this country is landless.
Yeah.
And all those people mostly stick within their marriages because they look at marriage as something completely different. They've procreated, they have to cook their food, somebody's looking after them, they get a roof above their head. As long as they don't get beaten, they think they've got a pretty good life.
I wish.
I think what I heard from what Jaya was saying was that there's a certain kind of morality, middle class morality, about marriages in urban pockets that maybe rural India is not really interested in imbuing it with that kind of sexual morality.
That's a very tinted view of rural India.
That's what she's saying. I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying that's the point she's making.
Livelihood is issue anywhere.
Okay, yes. I have to take rural a break. Please, I have to take a break. When we come back, brief last comments from our panel, their concrete proposals, what would they like to change after a short break? People, contentious new proposals to the marriage laws of India have divided public opinion. Do these laws protect women, or do these laws give the state an opportunity to meddle too much in the already fragile institution of marriage? Before we go back to our panel for final comments, let's hear a little bit from our audience. To my right is somebody who had a multitude of experiences. She went from being Miss India to getting married to then being in a situation where the husband has actually locked her into litigation and is not taking a clear position, putting your life in limbo. Tell us your story.
He just wanted a trophy wife. He got a trophy wife. I was married for 10 years. All that was promised, he chased me, literally chased me and said, this is the girl I want to marry. Once I was married, whatever I wanted, I had to work for. He gave me no money. I was harassed for everything. The status now is I'm divorced for 15 years. I've brought up my two daughters all alone. I sold all my jewelry. I don't have a penny from him. He did step in to helping the children when they were about 15, but they were about 5 when they came back to India. Today the children are being helped by him. I don't have a penny. I work.
And did you work after marriage? Did you have a source of income?
I had to. I had no choice.
You did. You wouldn't have wanted to work had you had a choice?
No, I would love to have a choice whether I want to work or stay back home, but I did not have that choice whether I was married or not. I had to work to get...
So you would support these?
Definitely.
Okay, let's take some more questions.
Yes. Okay, so this happened in my family. This couple, they were married for 14, 15 years and the marriage just broke down. They had a property together, a flat together, and she was kicked out of it. She had to go back to her parents' place. In the meager income she had to support two children. She had to support her parents plus look after the maintenance of the house. He refused to pay alimony. He refused to support the children, saying he's bankrupt. He threatened to file a case of desertion. And the woman is completely trapped because she's afraid of the legal system because it's going to drag on for years.
So that is what it is, actually, that the legal system actually evokes such terror. So how do you both keep protection but insulate people from that trauma? Let's just take a last question here.
Hi, I'm a single child of a single parent, so I've been brought up to be very independent and be financially secure. And I kind of support what Pooja says and Jaya Jaitley says, that a woman has to be self-reliant and we do not need to be dependent on alimony. I mean, if you can do it on your own, why not?
That's a good thought. If you can do it on your own, why not? Isn't that a modern philosophy that we should encourage? Do you disagree with that?
Yeah, I disagree. Not with the view. Basically, we as urban women, we can think about it. What about the grassroots level people in rural India? 90% of rural Indian women.
But you're saying if you were married, you wouldn't want to take alimony if the marriage didn't work.
I think that marriage needs to be taken as a serious institution. Today, it's like the pop instant microwave age. Everything is instant. So marriage is often seen as instant. They think it either works or you just give up on it in like 3 months. I know friends who've kind of walked out of marriages in 4 months, 2 months, 3 weeks. So people actually, I'm kind of speaking from the urban side, do not give any time to marriages.
Let's start taking last comments and I'll get a couple of more audience questions. Ranjana Kumari, very brief, 30 seconds last comment. Something you'd like to see change?
Well, I think the amendment has been very carefully thought through. We have sat through with the National Commission for Women for years to discuss it, debate it.
Yeah.
We have arrived on a
You very, think it's thought concrete. Through? You think what? It's thought through?
I
it doesn't need more
thought
changes?
Through. It's time. First of all, most importantly, it's time to give Indian women justice. Thirdly, that, irretrievable breakdown of marriage. I think that's a contesting, because people should debate it, because majority of the women do not have a choice in India. If they are just being left high and dry because man doesn't want to live with her, then I think it's going to be a
but
big
would you
big
want
trouble.
To live with,
so I think for that,
but here's my question, would you Jaya Jethi want to live with somebody who didn't
no.
want to live with you?
Yes, not at all.
Jaya Jethi, last thoughts in this law.
No, I would still go back to the idea of a prenup if you only got to look at women's rights through divorce.
Yeah.
But I would still prefer that we insist on property being divided equally. As it is, marriage within society is a controversial thing, and more interference of laws and complicated thinking, and even everyone here not knowing what the law actually means.
No, we know what the law is.
These lawyers don't seem to know.
No, they don't agree.
They don't agree.
Okay,
one question.
We are all talking about that women should be self-reliant. But don't you think the first step towards empowerment is to feel strong? And if you're leaving up to the court to decide case by case, then there's a very, there's a need for women to feel strong that if I come out of the marriage, yes, I'm going to get a particular share. Yes.
Okay, Kirti, something you'd like to see change in the amendments?
I think it's a historic opportunity for women right to be recognized within marriage, for them to be treated as equal partners. Let us fight for equal rights for women within marriage. Let us recognize what they have been doing all these years.
But nothing you'd like to see change or fine-tuned or streamlined?
Well, the laws are, according to me, women should have an equal right in both movable and immovable property. And apart from that, we should have an independent right to Matrimonial Property Act, which will apply to all Indian women. We just don't want amendments to the Hindu Marriage Act and to the Special Marriage Act.
I just think that one of the things we haven't spoken about enough, and as we end, I just want to underline it, is children. When sparring partners are locked into endless litigation, when divorce becomes so difficult, it's really the children who go through hell. And I have here somebody whose parents have been separated.
They're living separately. They haven't been divorced exactly, but for more than 10 years, they're living separately. And I'm living with my mom. And like you, Pooja ma'am, she has come up well on her own. So I don't think there's a particular need for women in every aspect to get a part of the property. I mean, you want to empower women, that's fine. But at the same time, suppress men, why is that?
Vitesh, kya bol rahe hain?
I mean, when women file false cases on men, just
but
to get property...
But men can also file false cases against women. So it works both ways.
And 498A has made marriage a cash industry.
Let Pooja speak. I'm going to start winding down now. Pooja,
Barkha, I'd like to say that there's a quote which says, a man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Yeah. You know, her eyes open before anybody else in the house, and she goes to sleep well after everything and all the lights are shut off. I'd like to say one more thing. Divorce in India currently is a word that is associated with stigma.
Yes.
Okay. I would like that to change to empowerment. If we're doing such a bad job in botching up our laws, let's take a cue from the West.
Jaya, Anand, and then last word to Mukul. Jaya.
In very short sentence, this girl said that we should come out of a marriage strong. I believe we should go into a marriage strong. Then whether we come out or not is upon us.
Anand, to both of you, something that the bill needs to look at.
Well, I think the overall situation has to be addressed where women are encouraged to find jobs. That's very, very important.
Yes.
I did Air India cases. I know women, how they were treated. Secondly, I think there should be community of property. Thirdly, the children must be catered for. They have to be catered from the same property. That can't be left out.
According to me, these amendments are not well thought out. They are wholly lopsided and arbitrary. Plus, it seems to me that this entire discussion is really based on people living in Bombay, Delhi and Calcutta.
Yeah.
But this is not India.
Yeah.
And we are talking really in commercial terms. You get this, I must get this.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. If this is the way, then probably I would say don't have a ground of irretrievable breakdown of justice.
Well,
because
that's,
you're going to get so much.
Give me last word. You already had your last word.
At the moment, there is no species on this planet as disempowered as Indian women because they do not have any right in terms of property, in terms of power, and in terms of
property. And I would just end by saying that I wish that as we raise some of these very important issues for women, we also really need to look at not just the marital home, but also what happens to a girl, to a girl child, to a young woman, even before she gets married. According to me, discrimination starts there, and according to me, how parents will their property is also very discriminatory, and that also needs to be focused on. But the volatility of this debate seems to indicate to me that we need a greater debate, we need greater transparency.
For sure.
We leave it there. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.